Welcome to Nachyomi of the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esther Shkup, and today we'll continue our study of Iyov, focusing on the ninth chapter, in which Iyov begins his response to Bildad. Bildad asserted that it is impossible to attribute a perversion of justice to God, to which Iyov reacts in the opening verses of this chapter. He begins by brushing aside Bildad's platitudes in the first clause of verse 2. Omnam yadati kichen. Yes, I know all this is true, in principle. Mitzudot explains that Iyov concedes that Hashem is both omnipotent and perfectly just. He has unlimited power to create and to destroy. But the God he believes in and worships would not harm the blameless, nor tolerate the evil who would attack the innocent. Consequently, Iyov was led logically to deduce that all of the horrors to which he had been subjected were produced by blind forces, symbolized by the stars in the solar system that cannot differentiate between individuals, be they righteous or malicious. But he has one complaint, as he asks sardonically in the second clause of this opening verse. Uma yitzdak enosh imkel. But what's the point of being righteous and choosing virtue when the fate of the good man is no different than the fate of the wicked? Ramban interprets this verse as follows. I also know as much, namely that God is all-powerful and even all-knowing. But apparently he's not just, for the fate of those who obey God's laws and those who defy those laws is identical. Life expectancy and the quality of living has no correlation to virtue. Malbim interprets this opening by looking at the first three verses as one extended thought. Indeed, I know that this is true, but how can mere mortals prove their innocence before God? Though they wished to dispute with him, they could not answer him one time out of a thousand. His wisdom is boundless, his power is vast. Who has dared to resist him and come out unscathed? How can a human being ever win in such a lopsided debate? How can a mortal win a debate when he can't answer even one of a thousand questions hurled at him? Who would dare to question an all-powerful God and dare to remain whole and alive? After all, when God moves mountains, when the earth quakes and its pillars shatter, who can begin to determine the why and the wherefore? Hamatik harim velo yadau asher hafacham beapo, hamargiz eretz mimkoma ve'amudea yitpaleitzum. Are earthquakes or volcanoes an expression of God's anger at human folly or wickedness? Or are these mere adjustments in the geological order designed to stabilize life on earth, regardless of the collateral damage that may befall man or beast? Omer lacheres velo yizrach uve'ad kochavim yachdom. He speaks to the sun, and it does not shine. He seals off the light of the stars. When God commands an eclipse of the sun, or if he extinguishes the glittering stars, is it meant as an omen for man, or is it completely unrelated to life on earth? Malbim explains Iyov's words here that suggest that even if God were to destroy the entire world as we know it, it would be an insignificant blip in the vast universe in light of the many other worlds that Hashem has or will create. After all, our sages in Bereshit Rabbah asserted that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Borei Olamot U'machrivan. For reasons that we can never comprehend, Hashem creates worlds and destroys them. There were worlds before ours that were doomed to disintegration, and there will be worlds after ours that will also implode into tohu vavohu, chaos and emptiness. So the fate of one man is nothing if the species survive and God's mysterious plan prevails. In the following verses 10 and 11, Eov remembers Eliphaz's words and echoes them with an ironic twist. Ose gdolot ad ein cheker v'niflaot ad ein mispar hen yavor alai velo ereh v'yachalof velo avin lo. He performs wonders that cannot be fathomed, miracles that cannot be counted. Yet when he passes me, I cannot see him. When he goes by, I cannot perceive God. While Eliphaz described God's creative powers to highlight his concern for man, Eov describes God's unlimited power to foment natural disasters as evidence of utter indifference to man. Therefore, Eov proceeds to argue that there is no point in praying for or debating with Hashem, who is so powerful and yet so apathetic to the fate of one little person, Eov. Af ki anochi e'enenu, efchera dvarai imo, asher im tzadakti lo ene, lim shofti et chanan, im karati vayaneni, lo amin ki yazin koli. How then can I dispute with him, even if I carefully chose my words to argue with him? Though I were innocent, I dare not respond. At best, I could only plead with my judge for mercy. Even if I summoned him and he responded, I can't believe he would listen to my voice. Ramban elaborates, explaining that Eov no longer believes in Hashgacha Pratit, and is essentially saying that he denies that Hashem would stoop down to respond to an individual's prayer. Rashi adds that Eov says that even if God would deign to debate him, Eov would fail in choosing the right words in his own defense, as he would surely be overwhelmed with fear and awe of God's unfathomable power. Rashi asks, how can Eov plead with a creator whom he describes in verses 17 and 18 as crushing him with callous cruelty? Asher b'se'ara yeshufeni v'hirba p'tza'ai chinam lo yitneni hashevruchi ki yasbieni merorim. He would crush me with a storm and multiply my wounds for no reason. He would not let me catch my breath, but would overwhelm me with bitter misery. So what's the point of arguing when there's no chance of winning? Imetzdak piyarshieni, tamani vayeaksheni, ay tamani lo edan nafshi emas chayai. Achati al ken amarti tam verasha umechale. Even if I were innocent, my mouth would condemn me. If I were blameless, he would pronounce me guilty. Although I am blameless, I have no concern for myself. I despise my own life. It's all the same. That's why I say he destroys both the blameless and the wicked. Thereafter, Eov describes a chaotic world, devoid of God's presence, in which might makes right because power has been seized by the ruthless and the crafty. He then hesitatingly casts blame on God, who has allowed life on earth to descend into the absurd. Eretz nitna biyad rasha, pnei shofteha yechaseh, im lo eifo mihu. The earth has been given into the hands of the wicked. He covers the faces of the judges. And if it's not, then who is he? Rashi explicates this statement, saying that consciously or unconsciously, Eov has chanced upon the truth. The earth and the fate of man have been handed over to the Satan, who has covered the faces of human judges so they cannot discern the truth. Ramban notes that Eov ends with a rhetorical question which obscures the real problem. If it is not God who has done this and has destroyed my life and killed my children, then who is responsible? Are the blind judges mentioned in this verse a subtle reference to Eov's friends who have needed to indict him in order to rationalize the tragedy? Anochi Elsha, lamaze heveliga. I'll be convicted one way or another, says Eov. Why then should I toil in vain? Eov continues to lament his fate, despairing of ever getting his day in court, knowing that he can never win. Kilo ish kamoni enenu. Navo yachdav b'mishpat. Lo, yesh beinenu mochiach. Yashet yado al shneinu. For he is not a man like me, that I should answer him, that we can come together to a court to adjudicate my case. Can there be an arbiter betwixt us who is strong enough to lay his hand upon both of us? Nevertheless, Eov ends this chapter crying out for a chance to prove his innocence before the ultimate judge, if only he would let up on his suffering for a while and make his chances in court a little more equitable. Yaser me'alai shifto, ve'emato al teva'ateni, adabra ve'lo ira'enu, ki lo chen anochi imadi. Let him take his rod away from me, so fear of him will not terrorize me. Then I could speak and not fear him. As that it now stands with me, I cannot. Mitzudot adds that Eov believes he's in a no-win situation, not only in relation to God, but also in the judgmental eyes of his friends. Thank you for learning with me. Thank you for studying together. Le'ilui Nishmat, Rose Foreman, Razel Rochel Bat Arye Leib, and for Rachel Zeitlin, Rochel Bat Shlomo, Alehen HaShalom.